Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Govijana Vallabha Girivara Dari. Govijana Vallabha Girivara Dari. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tirana Chari Yamuna Tira Vana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Govijana Vallabha Girivara Dari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari 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 Jaya Om Vishnupada Paramahansa Parivaja Kacharya Tirtha Sata Sri Srimad Chidani Goswami Silesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jaya Jaya Om Vishnupada Paramahansa Brihad Kacharya Sata Sri Srimad Chidani Goswami Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Thakur Prabhupada Ki Jaya Jaya Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jaya Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jaya Premsikha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jaya Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopi Gobinath Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhani Ki Jaya Shri Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Shri Mayapur Dham ki jai, Ganga Mai ki jai, Jumun Mai ki jai, Tulsi Maharani ki jai, Bhakti Dev ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda ki jai, All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading the Srimad Bhagavatam from the 8th canto, chapter 15, text 29 through 31. So, I'll read 29 and 30, and then we'll chant 31 together. Boy, these glasses are not strong enough. The light is very poor. Would somebody else like to chant the, who can see, or if anyone has some stronger reading glasses? Someone can chant the text 29. Anyone? No? No one has a book here? Yeah, this sloka? No, 29. 29 and 30. Here. No, chant the
Sanskrit. The repeating will be done on 31.
No, not repeating, just say it.
Ojasvinam balim jetum na samarto stikaschana bhavadvido bhavan vapi Varjayitvesvaram Harim.
Neither you nor your... Well, the sloka continues.
Vijashyati nako pyenam brahmateja sameditam nasya sakta purastatum krittantasya yata janah.
Translation. Neither you nor your men can conquer the most powerful Bali. Indeed, no one but the Supreme Personality of Godhead can conquer him, for he is now equipped with the supreme spiritual power, Brahma Tejas. As no one can stand before Yamaraj, no one can now stand before Bali Maharaj. Text 30. Yes?
Tasman nilayam ut srijya Yuyam sarvetri vistapam yata kalam pratikshanto yata shatror viparyaya.
Translation. Therefore, waiting until the situation of your enemies is reversed, you should all leave this heavenly planet and go elsewhere where you will not be seen. Text 31. Okay.
Esa vipra balodarka sampratyurjita vikrama teshameva pamanena Sanubandho vinankshyati Esha vipra balodarka Sampratyujita Vikramaha Teshamevapamanena Sanubandho Vinankshyati.
Repeat.
Esham viva pamanena sanubandho vinanchati esha vipra balodarka sampratyurjita vikramaha esham viva pamanena Sanubandho Vinanchati.
Ladies.
Esha Vipra Balodarka. Sampratyurjita Vikramaha. Esham Eva Pamanena. Sanubandho Vinanchati. Esha vipra balodaka Sampratyurjita vikramaha Esham vivapamanena Sanubandha vinakshati
Eshaha. This Bali Maharaj Vipra bhala udaka flourishing because of the brahminical power invested in him. Sampriti, at the present moment. Urjita Vikramaha, extremely powerful. Tesham, of the same Brahmanas. Eva, indeed. Apamanena, by insult. Saanubandha, with friends and assistants. Vinankshati, will be vanquished. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Bali Maharaj has now become extremely powerful because of the benedictions given him by the Brahmins. But when he later insults the Brahmins, he will be vanquished, along with his friends and assistants. Purport. Bali Maharaj and Indra were enemies. Therefore, when Brihaspati, the spiritual master of the demigods, predicted that Bali Maharaj would be vanquished when he insulted the Brahmins, by whose grace he had become so powerful, Bali Maharaj's enemies were naturally anxious to know when that opportune moment would come. To pacify King Indra, Brihaspati assured him that the time would certainly come, for Brihaspati could see that in the future Bali Maharaj would defy the orders of Shukracharya in order to pacify Lord Vishnu, Vamanadeva. Of course, to advance in Krishna consciousness, one can take all risks. To please Vamanadeva, Bali Maharaj risked defying the orders of his spiritual master, Shukracharya. Because of this, he would lose all his property. Yet, because of devotional service to the Lord, he would get more than he expected. And in the future, in the eighth Manvantara, he would occupy the throne of Indra again.
Om Agyanata Mrandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurmilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Vandangarati Gujim Jat Kripatam Ham Vande Sri Gurundi Natarinam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanishwaram. Hare Krishna. Happy Chandan Yatra beginning today. Hare Krishna. So we have a very good time limit. We have to end so that we can go and have darshan. And happy Akshaya Tritiya. It's interesting that this verse has come on this day. We have the meaning of Akshaya. Who, everyone here, who knows the meaning of Akshaya? Don't know. No one knows. I'm sure many people here know. But Chaya, what does Chaya mean? Destruction. It's not really destruction. It's kind of destruction, but it... Huh? The chaya. It's in this verse. This verse has the word chaya. It said, I'll give you the, so this will give you a hint. So it says, Vinakshatri will be vanquished. It literally means diminished, to go down. To lose. In the sense of Bali Maharaj, he lost all his property. In here, they lose their position, Vinakshati. And Akshaya means the opposite. To never lose, no diminishing. Never going away. So, materialists consider this to be a very, very auspicious day to invest in business, to buy gold. But it's also a very, very auspicious day to invest in devotional service. The TOVP has made an appeal today. It's a very auspicious day to invest in the construction of the temple for Radha Madhava Panchatattva, Nishingadev, and the Guru Parampara. This day, they describe in that article, they describe how on this particular day, many such non-diminishing, so there's some interesting pastimes that give the flavor of this. For example, Sudama, on this day. Sudama comes to Krishna. And though he offers something very, you could say, insignificant, even hesitant to offer, that handful of chit rice, very insignificant offering to the Lord of the universe, and yet Krishna accepted that offering as opulent, and he reciprocated with great opulence to Sudama. In this day, according to
at least the article from the TOVP. I'm not sure the sources of these but according to them, so that's my source. On this day, Draupadi also received the non-diminishing quality of Krishna's mercy. And I'm not sure the chronology, but one of those, I believe in the first instance, is when she's in great danger in the assembly of the Kauravas, trying to disrobe her. And Krishna gives her unlimited cloth, sari, whatever it was, to cover her without any diminishment. And then again, she also found herself in a problem when, I think it was the Devasa Muni came, and there was all of his disciples, and they came right after they had, it was Kunti, I think, or who had the pot? It was Draupadi had the pot, right, okay. So Draupadi had this pot that could produce unlimited food until she ate. And then it stopped. So she had fed her family, her husbands, and everyone had been fed, and she had taken her meal. And then Durvasa Muni shows up with all his disciples. Huh? 66,000, Chaitanya knows, Hare Krishna. 66,000 disciples, and she, you know, ordinarily it'd be no problem for Kunti. She's got the pot, right? But now the pot is not Akshaya. It's no longer Akshaya Patra. It's closed for the day. So, what to do? Anyway, they go for their bath, and of course Krishna shows up just at the right time. And I'm not sure if they explain the predicament or not, but anyway, do they? Do they explain? Yeah, they explain what's going on, and there must be something left. There must be something must be left. And they find a little tiny bit of grain, I think stuck to someone's hand. Huh? What was it? In the pot there was just a little tiny, tiny bit. And Krishna takes that little tiny bit of grain, and by his satisfaction, Devasa Muni and all their disciples, immediately they come out of their bath, and suddenly they feel all full. They're all like, their stomachs are full, and they feel, I can't eat a morsel more. I can't eat. It would be so embarrassing if we go back to their house and they feed us and we can't eat anything, and so let's just leave. Problem solved. So, Akshaya. So, the conclusion of this is that when we offer, and this is actually, there's another pastime, whether it happens on Akshaya Tritiya or not, I'm not sure, which is the pastime of the fruit vendor, where Krishna comes and offers some small offering. But also, this is interesting. They say that Vyasadeva and Ganesh chose this day to start writing the Mahabharata. And Srila Prabhupada chose this day in 1953 to start the League of Devotees in Jhansi. Now, we might say, well, wait a minute, the League of Devotees folded. But is that actually true? Did it actually stop? He did make one disciple that at that time, but did the League of Devotees stop? No, it didn't stop. When Srila Prabhupada came to America, I have a service. I serve on the committee to develop a constitution for our society, a more elaborate constitution than we have today in the form of ISKCON's laws. We want to make it more codified, more developed. In any case, we have to study the history of our society. And we all know ISKCON was founded in 1966, in July 13th, in fact, by incorporating. Just like League of Devotees, it says here that Srila Prabhupada started the League of Devotees. What does that mean? He formed the society. When you form a society in India, you make some documents and you sign them, and that's the official start, right? So, to start ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada signed, well, actually he organized, it was signed by his disciples, but he witnessed and authorized the formation of the society with seven purposes. Now, where are these seven purposes from? If you go back and you look at the purposes of the League of Devotees, you'll see that the seven purposes of ISKCON are directly coming from those purposes. They've been a little edited, a little, you know, compacted, summarized in some ways, but they're directly the purposes of the League of Devotees. So no, the League of Devotees didn't stop. Rather, the League of Devotees grew, transformed, and became the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And we are seeing that this society shows no signs. It may wax and wane somewhat, but its trajectory is undiminishing. So, this is also the beginning of Chandan Yatra. And I read up on that a little bit too. And apparently there's a verse in Skanda Purana. And again, my glasses are not good enough, but I'll try. Vaishakasya Site Pakshe Tritiyakshaya. So we have this, the Tritiyakshaya. Some git katatra mam yapayad ganda lepanayar ati sabbanam. Translation, smear fragrant sandalwood paste on my body on the day of Akshaya Tritiya during the waxing moon in the month of Vaishak. So this is the origin of the tradition, and it's particularly performed in Jagannath Puri for Lord Jagannath. And of course, we are also engaged in doing this for Radha Madhava. So, a very glorious day, a very wonderful day to offer our services to Srila Prabhupada and to Sri Sri Radha Madhava and to the Sri Mayapur project. And today's verse gives us some direction in our mission. This, when I was contemplating what to speak about today in relationship to this verse, I began thinking about how these sections of Srimad Bhagavatam, basically beginning from, I guess, around the third canto, little, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth, continuing on, there's lots of fighting. There's lots of battle going on. there's the fight with Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, then Hiranyakashipu. This whole pastime is a whole series of fighting. We know that Bali Maharaj initially fights with the demons and loses. He loses. But there's some interventions by Narada Muni. There's some interventions that bring about the revival of Bali Maharaj by Shukracharya. And then we see how Bali then begins another episode. Bali Maharaj seems to be a very unique personality in our history. He is the grandson of Prahlad, a great devotee, but he is in the line, the community, the tribe, you could say, of the Daityas. Now the Daityas are a complex community, just like the Devas. The Devas are a very complex community. We look at the Devas and we see, you know, they're all, you know, we call them demigods. But they do all kinds of strange things, especially Indra. Indra, he insults Krishna, he insults his own, we'll see later on that he insults his own guru. He does all kinds of strange things. Daksha insults Shiva. And then amongst the Daityas we find Prahlad, we find here Bali, we find Vritrasura. Of course, he's not exactly amongst the Daityas. He's actually the son of a Brahmin. This gets very complicated. We have amongst us my godbrother Rasa Mandala, who's studying ethics. And I don't know what you make out of this. When I started preparing for this, something came to me. The famous novel, War and Peace. Many of you probably have heard of War and Peace, right? Many of you, I think. Anyway, Tolstoy's famous novel centered around the battle between Russia, the Tsarist Empire of Russia, and Napoleon. But central to this, sometimes, and Tolstoy himself described, and this again, I thought of this, and then I went back and tried to get a little reminder about it. And I was reading about Tolstoy's description of his book that, well, it's not really a novel. It's less historic. So, because a lot of it is just philosophy and ethics. What do you do? Where's morality? Because it gets so difficult to find what is right and what is wrong. Here we have Bali Maharaj. And we'll see that as things progress, that Bali emerges as a Mahajan, a great devotee. And yet his story begins with war, with battle. And battle for what? For enjoyment. To enjoy the post of Indra. To enjoy the heavenly world. We heard just earlier in the chapter description of what this world was like, or is like. How beautiful. How extraordinary. I began to wonder a little bit what happened, because now we, in this last verse, Brihaspati tells all the Devas to to Vamoose, go somewhere else, leave. I guess they didn't take, I mean, the ladies, though, I don't know, the apsaras must have gone with them and what they did. So Bali Maharaj and his Daitya community walked into an abandoned heaven. But the trees, the palaces, the doors of gold, the roads of pearl, the sweet fragrances, the parijata flowers, this was all there. This wonderfully beautiful, extraordinarily beautiful place, which is only a reflection of the extraordinary beauty of Krishna's world. But if you want to try to find that within this universe, then there's nothing to compare with Indraloka. Maybe he was, yes, Sika was saying, Hawaii. Yeah, if you want to get a little sense of it, go to Hawaii. Prabhupada thought, but this is getting close. How many here have been to Hawaii? A few of you. We were there, my wife Atita and I, we were there, and we looked around and said, yeah, this is the flowers and the fragrances and the atmosphere. It was not too hot, not too cold, all of those things, very heavenly, which is a little difficult sometimes for the devotees living there to focus on their mission. So Bali Maharaj walks into a abandoned heaven. He's fighting, and his goal is to enjoy. His motivation appears to be. Now, this gets to me a little bit interesting, because is it really? What's really motivating Bali Maharaj to lead the Daityas into this battle? Of course, we know that Krishna's hand is in all of this, because we'll see how later Bali Maharaj emerges. And I began thinking, well, Bali, he is their leader. He's doing his duty as the leader of the Daityas to lead them into war, to conquer over Indra. And he also must be motivated by devotional service, because he is a devotee. And perhaps, within his heart, we don't know. I mean, maybe does anyone know any of this? Maybe it will be revealed some later on. What was in the heart of Bali Maharaj? But in any case, he had become extremely powerful. It's described that here, that how did he become powerful? He became powerful by worshipping and serving Brahmins. Now this also becomes very interesting, because these Brahmins, normally we associate the Brahmins with the devotees. In this case, we would think that the Brahmins would be fully aligned with the Devas. That would make sense. The Devas, the Brahmins. But here we find these Brahmins, these particular Brahmins, the descendants of Bhrigu. Now Bhrigu, of course, he's also a very interesting personality, being one of the Saptarishis, one of the first, he's described as not self-born, but he's born from Brahma without a mother. He's like, just manifest from Brahma. And he has different wives. There's a long story about Bhrigu and his progeny. But one of them is Shukracharya. And we see how Shukracharya, he as a Brahmin, ultimately he disregards Krishna. What's going on? And yet, he and his Brahminical associates were so powerful that their investment, now I don't know exactly how this works. How do the Brahmins inject their power into someone? But somehow they did with Bali. Bali was the recipient. He received this Brahma Tejas. And this Brahma Tejas is described here by Brihaspati. He's also a Brahmin. He knows the power of Brahma Tejas. And he knows that with that power, Bali is invincible. Now I'm sure this could be a great topic of scientific inquiry. How does this work? How does Brahma Tejas, where does it come from? Such a great power. What do Brahmins do to acquire this power? How do they transmit it? Those who were interested might do more research. But for our sake, we can take note that although this power was so great that it could lead Bali into the kingdom of heaven, expel the devas, it ultimately failed. And it failed when it became withdrawn by a very specific action, which we'll see later, and that is when the Brahmins are insulted and rejected. But here again we find an interesting thing, because Bali insulted and rejected the Brahmins to serve Krishna. Therefore, this verse says that though he lost everything, he then gained everything. So we are in this similar situation. We all are faced with a choice. We can pursue power, we can pursue enjoyment. We may achieve much in this world. If we're interested to become very powerful, to become very prosperous, then we can take the instructions of the Vedas. They give us all the direction. Krishna has created this world for this purpose, along with this capacity. Yes, you can enjoy heaven, but you'll have to fight. Initially, you'll have to fight to acquire that tejas, fighting with your physical environment by performing austerities and so on. Many austerities are performed in order to satisfy the Brahmins, and the Brahmins themselves acquire their power through austerity and sacrifices. And once you achieve it, you'll continue to have to fight to maintain it. So this fighting to achieve material opulence is the condition of material life. And we come to spiritual life and we think, okay, now we'll get peace. So that's what I was thinking, war and peace. We'll leave the war behind and we'll get peace. Right? We come to Krishna consciousness thinking, relief. I don't have to fight in this material world. I'll just be peaceful and spiritual. And then what happens? Srila Prabhupada comes along and says, get up! Fight! We're at war! This is a war, it's a battle! You have to fight! I love Vanipedia. So, I went, okay, because now this is really small, I can't read it. But I was looking for the title, that I can read. War Against Maya! Go to Vanipedia. Go Vanipedia. War Against Maya. Srimad Bhagavatam. The topics of the warfare in which the Lord engages do not concern the war of death, but the war against the chain of Maya, which obliges one to accept repeated birth and death. These general people, they are thinking, if war, there's no war, then we shall be very happy. How you'll stop your war with Maya? Maya has declared war with you. Maya has declared war with you. You may think, I'm going to be peaceful. I'm going to retire. I don't have to fight anymore. I'll just be peaceful. But Maya has declared war on you. And if you don't fight, she will win. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. She will win. If you think, I'll retire, be peaceful, be free of anxiety. My wife tells this story many, many times about she was there on a morning walk with Srila Prabhupada. And one devotee, I don't tell it as well as she does, but I'll try. So one devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, so I mean, you know, we're supposed to be living in Vaikuntha without anxiety. But I'm always in anxiety about this service or that. So much anxiety, how to do, where's the money, where's the rent going to come? this devotee is having trouble with that devotee, whatever. And then Prabhupada turns and says, there must be anxiety, something like that. If there's no anxiety, then you're like dead. You're like zombie. Not living. Like a zombie. To live means there'll be anxieties because there is a war going on. This war is going on. We may think, oh, we're nice and peaceful. We go to the beach or we go someplace and we're all relaxing and it's all nice and peaceful. And then a tsunami comes or something happens. No, this world means anxiety. And even when we come to Krishna consciousness, it doesn't stop because Maya is still there. And if Maya is not fighting a war with us, because we may make a little advancement, and we may be able to, through the shelter of Srila Prabhupada, we may keep Maya a little distant, but when we look around us, we see that Maya has conquered the world. And now our next battle begins. Perhaps it's a simultaneous battle for most of us. On the one side, we have our personal fight, our inner struggle with the forces of illusion. With the force of illusion, with the force of lust, anger, greed. We battle with our minds. What does Krishna say about the mind? It can be our friend or our enemy. In this verses that we've been hearing the past few days, we've heard that term enemy mentioned several times. Brihaspati is saying, your enemy will be vanquished. We have an enemy living inside. Right? It's where we are. We're right with it. All the time it's right there. We have to fight with the mind even. The mind which is being controlled by Maya. Maya serves Krishna to reform us. To reform us by forcing us to deal with our attraction to enjoying separately from Krishna. We all are here because we think we can enjoy without Krishna. Krishna creates this entire world, and somehow we think, I can enjoy it. We look at the kingdom of heaven, we hear about it, and just like Bali Maharaj, we think, I could do that, I could be there. Let me, and the Vedas tell, oh yes, you can be there, you just do this, you do this, you do this, you offer this sacrifice, you please this person, you do this, and this is the form, you can go there. You can enjoy for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. No disease. Very attractive. So the illusion is constantly there in our minds that we can enjoy this world. So we have to fight with our minds. So we have the inner battle. But we also have now, because we have taken shelter of Krishna and Srila Prabhupada, he has recruited us for another battle. It's not enough for us simply to battle within. We also have to join the fight to battle the force of Maya in the world. Therefore we see Srila Prabhupada, oh, it's time to go, but this last word, Srila Prabhupada called us out to join in the fight. To create a revolution in the hearts of a misguided society, in the hearts of men. To create a revolution, a spiritual revolution. So let us join together, fight together, and remember the code of the warriors. We are all together. The worst thing that we can do in our fight with Maya is to fight amongst ourselves. But if we're together, we can overcome not only the battle within, but the war in the world to establish the supremacy of the Supreme Lord. Hare Krishna. Sorry, I... Oh, it's actually... That's too late. Huh? Hare Krishna.
Thank you.